Welcome, welcome, welcome. Here we are, Wednesday, November 19th. Now, normally we come to you around 11 a.m. West Coast time, a little later today, because that's when Sammy could work in, and we missed Sammy last week. I'm off Thursday, Friday. We weren't going to go 2 weeks in a row.
No chance that we could do it just entirely. That it was not going to happen. We were not going to do that to each other. We had to make it happen. And here we are, which I just love, D. Bruce. It's great to see you. I guess I'll say happy Thanksgiving because you're doing it. Yeah. Yeah. We're going early on the Thanksgiving this year and let's celebrate.
How smart is that? Avoiding the holiday traffic nightmare and the travel nightmare. We're going to go do a Southern California Thanksgiving a week before Thanksgiving. Beating everybody to the punch. It's one of the smartest things my family has ever planned. I got to be honest with you.
It's so well done. I love what you're doing. It is just brilliant. I mean, just good for you. Good for you.
If my mother-in-law is watching, Liz, nice job. Good plan. Absolutely great plan. So looking forward to it. And then we're going to do a nice little Thanksgiving, just a humble little Thanksgiving up here next week. And it's, you know, officially that holiday time of the year. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here. Please hit like and subscribe early on. The more of you who tap that thumbs up button right now, the more people are going to get drawn in by that good old algorithm. And we actually, you know, we've got a thumbnail all set up where I want to talk about how, you know, we got leagues full of, locker rooms full of, games full of guys. And then all of a sudden here comes the man.
Oh, man.
And when you see the man, it's amazing how different he looks than just the rest of the guys who are all still great at what they do. But when you are the capital M-A-N, you really do stand out like a sore thumb. We will talk all about that. But Sam, a little bit later in the day, a tiny bit of breaking news, I guess, to deal with since we, you know, talk an awful lot of 49ers here on the pool. And I know that you talk an awful lot of football all the time, a lot of West Coast and Niner football on Thinking Out Loud with Siciliano and Sam. One of the funniest things that could possibly happen, I guess, just happened to the 49ers.
Oh, man.
The Washington Commanders, so unhappy with kicker Matt Gay, cut him and then added Jake Moody from the Bears practice squad. Unreal. Obviously, Jake Moody and the Niners, they have their past.
Some good history there. Moody, I'll always remember Moody being carried off after that Bucs win, the win in Tampa after the Bucs came back, stormed back to tie that game. Moody, did he miss? He missed three in that game, but then hit the game winner, which is unreal. Like, how often do you get to get carried off?
All that matters, finish it off, but it's all said and done. Of course, the single greatest moment in 49ers franchise history is when Jake Moody won in Las Vegas in the preseason. I mean, that was an incredible moment huge. For Jake Moody. Anyways, it didn't last for Jake. Jake got cut. He got picked up by Chicago. Chicago put him on the practice squad after kicking a little bit. And now the 49ers are picking up the kicker that has been replaced by Jake Moody.
That is
in Washington.
So outrageous. That is so, I mean, really, just when you talk about full circle moments in life, that just makes so much sense, doesn't it?
And scene. Roll credits.
Credits. Just roll the credits on that. What a perfect moment to see that.
JP from the 510 wants to know, what part of LA are you going to be in? I think we're going to be Orange County.
So
look at it this way. We're going to be so far away from what I think of LA proper, where Sammy lives.
Yes.
I didn't even bother trying to set up a lunch with Sammy.
By the way, you know what the worst part of someone from really out of town, I'm not going to say you're not necessarily out of town, but someone out of state, when they come to town, they're like, oh, great news. I'm going to be right there for you. And you're like, oh, where are you going to be? And they're like, oh, we're going to be in San Diego. And he's like, no. I live in Los Angeles, and then Los Angeles is so spread out. If you're not directly in my zip code, frankly, I don't want any part of it. All right. So even though you're going to be close in LA traffic, you can't measure anything, Damon, with miles. That's the funniest thing you could ever do. Oh, you're 13 miles away. That should only take us an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah. We're not doing it. Forget about it.
I know enough about LA traffic to know that anything south of Anaheim, we're never going to see Sam.
it's just, we love you and we'll see you next time. And you've been at the house, you've been at Gaviota, so you know what it's like to truly have it there. And we will make that happen the right way.
It's going
to
happen. We're going to end up doing a King's weekend. We're going to come on down. We're going to have a little fun. And let me tell you, going with the man theme. And look, I know enough about sports fans. I know enough about my own audience to know that if I led with just a singular thumbnail of Macklin celebrating.
It's just not a
lot of people are probably clicking on the video today, but I do want to say, and I don't want to get granular on hockey or Sharks or their rebuild or anything. But Sammy, what got me thinking about today's kind of opening topic was last night I'm watching and the Sharks lose that game 2-0 for Celebrini, who in overtime completes his own hat trick for a 3-2 win for the Sharks. He so stands out as a teenager. He's only 19 years
old. 19, Damon.
He is doing things as a teenager that only like Gretzky, Sidney Crosby, Mario Lemieux did in this league. There is something special going on with this young player, and there is no doubt he has the man already label upon him, and he delivers, man.
So here's what it is. In hockey, and now in every sport, when there is a player like this, we'll talk Shohei, Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to put Celebrini in this right now. Connor McDavid's really the guy right now, but Celebrini is going to be. And when we look at that, I just want to say it's that the puck hits this stick on the ice and all of a sudden the game just slows down. All of a sudden the game is dictated by this one player and everyone in the building is saying, who's that? That's what matters. And Celebrini is that guy. Celebrini, think about it. This is his second hat trick of the season, which is ridiculous. Okay. Macklin Celebrini is elevating a team that is irrelevant. I mean, irrelevant. He's drafted last year, number one. And again, to get the number one draft pick, you got to suck. We all know that, right? And that's the Sharks were absolutely that. But 1 year removed from the rookie season, this is a playoff caliber team with that move alone. Macklin Celebrini is that good. And when you're talking about a player like that, when we're talking about a conversation that is a sentence with Shohei and Patrick Mahomes and Macklin Celebrini's even in it at all, that goes to show you how special he is.
You know, another thing that made me think about the man being the topic of this show to start off with here was last night, the man walked back on the court for the LA Lakers, didn't he? Look, there's no doubt that Luka is the future of that team and Luka wears the man crown of his own, but it's not as heavy and it's not as big and it's not as shiny as LeBron still after all these years. And let me tell you what LeBron James did last night in his season debut, just 11 points and 12 assists. But as he did that, the man elevates the entire team and the Lakers drop a season high 140. Luka looks basically unstoppable. And LeBron has now brought his career into a season no other professional basketball career has ever seen. I think that Michael Jordan is forever the zenith of the peak of dangerous, but the greatest career of all time, it has to be LeBron now. He's played better, longer than anyone ever in the history. All-time leading scorer. Here's some crazy shit last night. Do you realize that LeBron has played with or against 36% of every player that has ever played in the NBA? One out of three players in a league that has a near 80-year history has played with or against LeBron James.
LeBron James, what he's done, and I understand this is a conversation. And here's the thing. Here's why people are passionate about the LeBron conversation, because you have to be so good when you're compared to only one other person in the history of the game. And let's be clear, that's the only conversation when it comes to LeBron. It is a LeBron and Michael Jordan conversation. Contemporary wise, I like to say Steph Curry's in that conversation. And I know LeBron's got a little bit of a chip about Steph Curry. And I understand why the head-to-head there has not been pretty for LeBron. But overall, dominating the game, it is a LeBron James, Michael Jordan conversation. And the reason people get upset about LeBron is because, he may not be greater than the greatest of all time. And I'll argue, considering what he's done with numerous franchises, he has now gone beyond that point. And what we don't have is, we don't have the nostalgia factor to build into the moment. In the present, it is difficult to understand what it's going to feel like when he's gone, when he's no longer playing. All of a sudden, the history is going to make perfect sense to you, and you're going to realize, and you're going to want to be part of a conversation that says, in my lifetime, in the prime of my lifetime, was actually the greatest player that ever came to be in the finals 10 times. The championships, I know, don't line up as the 6-for-6 perfectly the way it does with Jordan. And I got to say this much. At this point, can I say this, Damon? It seems wild, but after the movie Air, I think it's perfectly fair to say this. The shoes, the gear plays a part in that argument. Michael Jordan's gear is undefeated.
Well, so it's when we talk about mythology.
Yeah.
It ain't just Hercules. It's the sword. It's the helmet.
Yes.
It's the cloak of invisibility. It's all of those things. And there's no doubt that the sneaker and the omnipresence of him in our childhood is as an advertising vehicle. Look at you. Look at the color.
These are nice. I mean, these are nice. The pink, right? I mean, the color palette is outstanding on those.
So fucking Los Angeles, you drive me nuts. The Philadelphia in you hates
it. It's deep. I'll show you the other ones. I have the green and white. I have fours in the green and white in the Kelly green. So yeah, I'll bring those next time. But yeah.
If you were wearing color shoes, that, I was going to drop this stream right now and never talk to you.
That would have been it. You wouldn't even have to tell me when you come down to Orange County or San Diego. You no longer have to inform me at all.
It's obvious I'm not seeing you. It's obvious we're not going to be.
Sam, the mismatched Jordans was just the final straw. But as part of that conversation, because I'm here in LA now in more of an office setting than I used to be, Damon. Mm-hmm. Jordans have become dress shoes. And I'm not even talking full suits. I'm just saying that, like, when you wear jeans now, if you wear Jordans that aren't beat up, and who lets their Jordans get beat up? If you're wearing jeans now with Jordans, it's considered like you dressed up for the day.
It's a status symbol. It's the Bruno Mollies of sneakers. It's
Louboutin. It's Louboutin for men. It's Louboutins for men.
Perfect.
It just is like the red bottom, right? I mean, that's it. So that does play a part because when they're buying something, so I love that. You're like, when you tell somebody like, hey, nice shoes. And it's like, well, I bought them. Like, I definitely didn't make them. Right. And it's like nice shoes. Like, okay, yeah, I made a good decision, I guess. But people want to be tied to that. And I think I just absolutely Jordan factors into that with the shoes. Otherwise, and I'm not going to say if, I hate saying if, I'm not going to say if that wasn't a part of it. That is a part of it. And the shoes are at that level because of who he is, etc. Yes. But three different franchises for LeBron to have done for him to have reshaped three franchises. I have to win. And again, if he came to LA and didn't win a championship, I would say, yes, largely he'd be chasing something. It would be like, I'm sorry, you can't, like, this is a city of champions. If you come here, like, he knew choosing the Lakers. He did. And choosing the Lakers is really, people may think that's some sort of obvious decision at the time when he chose Lakers, Damon. I think quite the opposite. He could have avoided all of these comparisons. The statues, think about the statue. Okay, the statues.
He didn't take any easy way out when he joined the Lakers. They were sort of a mess when he joined them. And that's also a stage with a blinding spotlight on it. I mean,
And something you and I love about Steph Curry is the idea that he's the one that got Durant to this point, right? Like, Durant doesn't have the championship without Steph, right? Like, that's it. Like, Durant, who arguably was, first of all, Durant was only in the conversation of greatest player of all time in his career once when he played with Steph and when he beat LeBron, right? Like, that was it. He and Steph beat LeBron. That's what it was. But my point about Durant is this. Anthony Davis is the guy I want you to look at. Anthony Davis's career in the end, when we look back, we're going to remember the year and the years that he played with one guy. Yeah. One guy. That's it. Yeah. Anthony Davis is going to be a Hall of Famer because of LeBron James. That's, you know, you hear it work, elevate others, right? Like, that's something that's cliche.
That's the man status. That's why he has it. By the way, SD 1593. Bubble championship. You know what? You're right. Key word, however, championship. The key word in there is not bubble. It's championship.
You know what would be amazing? Maybe I'll tell Larsul. You know, Larsul has one of those rings. Larsul was on, you know, he was, Aaron Larsul, our buddy, was on the team for 2020. He's got a ring. In the bubble, yes.
The bubble, right? He went.
So, yes. Yeah. And so what I want to do is, you think if I wrapped his ring in bubble wrap that he would, like, that would be sucked. And I don't believe it at all. By the way, All of you out there.
What did Lars Sewell average for the Lakers that week?
You know what? Guess what? He averaged one ring.
Pretty impressive.
So I'm going to give it to him.
Season.
Yeah, one ring. See you later. They don't just like, you don't just, no matter what, that's one of those things, like, you know, in life when there's sort of like,
don't flip those out to hangarounds.
And you know, in life when there's like, there's like spillage, right? They talk about spillage, like an over, like you can get like the overflow of something in life, right? Like, sure. We like the pennies on something. Championship rings are not, they're not the overage. They're not, you're not just like, no. Those are very specifically given out. You know, there's not just extras.
Here's the real question. Did he get a player's caliber ring, or did he get the Marty Lurie, you get a ring after the parade?
I think so. I think he's one under, he's a rung under player. And I think that only had to do with, I think it's the case that it came in was different for, in that version. So I don't know that he has.
So everyone knows championship rings do come in like three different levels.
They do. Yes.
It's the players, and they get, you know, as rocked up as Jacob the Jeweler can stuff diamonds in the turkey cavity. You know, they all go to there. And then you get your owners, and they get it, and coaches, and immediate game day staff usually gets sprinkled one of those two. Here's your $180,000 bonus in ring form is what that is, basically. And then your PR people, your game night staff and operations, they get that second level ring. It's a very nice ring. It's still worth several thousand dollars, but it isn't all the carrots in the garden.
No,
like the other one.
It's not. And then
you get the guy who works at the ticket services and at off game night PR, and the guy who runs security, they get the tin pot ring.
But his grandkids know that he won a championship. That's for sure. That's for sure. And look, in what we do, Damon, I mean, it's, we all dreamt at one point of being a part of it in that way. And so and getting close, I mean, talking about it is one stage of getting close to it. And then working for a team would be another one. And so, yes, he did that, and congratulations. But I do want to say this, because my most important point about that comment, bubble championship, is F you. Every other team had that same opportunity.
This isn't a Lakers fan. You're not a Lakers fan.
I am not a Lakers fan. I'm not a Dodgers fan. And they both won bubble championships that season. Okay. And frankly, another LA team won that year as well. Okay. The Lakers won. The Dodgers won. It was right. I mean, that was like everything was perfect that season for LA, right? To have both of those teams winning in the way that they did. And the Rams. The Rams, the Lakers, and the Dodgers all won a championship that season, which is crazy. And I'm not a fan across the board of any of those three. But every team in each of those sports had the same opportunity to win the easy championship. So it's nonsense,
right?
To me. It is nonsense.
It should have been easy for everyone. There should have been multiple champions. It was so easy to win a championship in that bubble if it was that easy.
And the irony is, the Rams did win the Super Bowl in LA that year, which again, not only happened, I mean, we know where the Super Bowl is each season. That was just that happened to be, much like Brady did it in Tampa. It doesn't happen often. It happened twice back to back seasons, and Niners never outside of that.
Levi's, write it not, down.
It's clearly going to happen this season again. But did the Lakers have an advantage playing in Orlando? I don't understand. Like, what? Like, just stop.
So their advantage was there was no crowd to make Anthony Davis maybe piss down his own leg.
Right. That might have been great.
But either I'm not there to crap on it. Neither are you. Let's not let one comment.
No, but I do. But I appreciate. I appreciate that comment because it gets me to that level every time. And there you go. But yes, but the man status, Damon, I'm going to say that. Are you elevating others? And I don't know that there's a player in our lifetime that I can say that. I mean, as much as I love Shohei,
I think Steph Curry is in this conversation.
He is.
By the way, just a couple more things on LeBron. Here's something that I would have never expected, because when he came into the league, he was just a dominant, powerful player. He was not a perimeter player. Last night, he passed Reggie Miller and made career threes. That's insane. You want to talk about evolving as the game evolves in your own career? That's something else. He's got a 40-point game on every single NBA franchise. I don't know if another player's ever done that. And again, Vince Carter, who was, you know, on fumes level Vince Carter at the end of his career, he played 22 seasons. LeBron, the first sneaker to ever hit a court for season 23, and it started last night. It's really something else. It is. Before we move along, let me just say it's great to have everyone in here for what is normally an abnormal start time for the show. Yeah. But we work around things, and because it's the internet, there, you know, time doesn't even exist, right? But what does exist is hunger and lunch at Ike's. Get yourself to Ike's. Get yourself maybe a little Ike's tonight for dinner. Pick it up. I mean, it's how about this? There's going to be a lot of holiday cooking coming up. There's going to be a lot of days in the coming months where you're not going to want to cook. Get yourself to Ike's. Hopefully there's one near you. You sign up for that Love Rewards program. You eat happy, you will be happy. We want to thank our friends at the Dubliner. This is where are you going to watch Macklin Celebrini go pick up his next hat trick? Where are you going to go watch the Warriors in Miami tonight without Steph? I don't know if Jimmy or Draymond's playing. If you bought a ticket tonight in Miami, you got screwed. Sorry, everyone. This is what happens, NBA, when you give team old man this many back-to-back front of the year. You think you'd know how to sell your own league. Good God, I don't know what the NBA's thinking. Either way, get to the Dubliner. Let the Dubliner do your thinking for you. And we always want to thank Sleeper. Use promo code Damon in the link that is right at the top of the description of this video. You click on it, you use Damon, you get a $100 deposit match. Use it for NBA parlays. Use it for your NFL. We got Thursday Night Football going off tomorrow night. Very interesting slate of games this upcoming week. So all of that always in play. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to Sammy for being here. Thank you to all of you for being here. It is really good to have you, especially with a time we normally don't go. So if you're in now, thank you for going out of your way to join us.
We so appreciate it. And Damon, speaking of being here, I do want to remind everyone, I was in the building last night with LeBron stepping on the court, as you said, for that first time this season. And it was interesting to hear him speak before the game. He mentioned something. He said, for those that are wondering how I'm going to fit in, I fit into every situation I've ever been in this league. And I just want to nod my head and say, he's absolutely right. He's played multiple roles. He basically deferred to Dwayne Wade when he went to Miami at first and understood that winning a championship was going to be something that he had to learn how to do. And Dwayne Wade helped him understand that. And that is true. He did defer at that time to D Wade. It was amazing to see.
Maybe like 42 games.
You're right. You're right. But guess what? But even that, but think about like, think about what he was like to be the man as we're talking about this conversation in Cleveland and to come to Miami and understand like, okay, I need some help. Like that's not easy in life. You know, like, I mean, delegating is something people throw that word around. It is hard. Sometimes you just hold on too tight. He understood that. And now to watch this team get off to the start it has without him, I'd have to imagine that was an interesting moment for him last night, because now he's never not started a season, by the way. So think about that. By the way, that's another impressive stat, because when we talk about LeBron and we talk about ability and availability, maybe that's the greatest thing he's ever done, because to last this long, obviously you can't have some, you know, so I mean, look, Greg Oden may have been amazing, right? And we'll just never know that, right? I mean, injuries. Ask all of the Niners fans that are in here with us, right? Do injuries play a factor each season? I mean, it's a big part of what it takes to get there and to achieve what you want to. And LeBron, much like Brady, has maintained that part of who he is. And that's what was awesome to see last night, is that he got to come into a situation where maybe for the first time, he wasn't the savior and the team's doing pretty damn good without him. And we know that Luka was brought here to be the future, but LeBron is here in the present with that future. And all of a sudden, with one game, with a 15-point win over Utah that they had to come from behind in, okay, but in that,
very good.
But in that one win, guess what the Lakers are now in the conversation of? Immediately, are they the best team in the league this year? That's all it took.
The answer is no. I like the Nuggets and I like the Thunder more than them. But I'm here to tell you that in a season where we're way too early in it to make any bold predictions, Lakers are off to a really good start, and their really good start happened without one of the best players in the history of the game, who, again, you know, kind of a humble double-double for LeBron last night.
No big deal. I mean, for him, no big deal. For
a month from now, he's fucking rolling again. You know it. You know it. Like, the guy just does not slow down. It's the very first instance where, look, Father Time might be played to a draw. I mean, that,
yes,
that
yes,
be, but this
yes.
It's the closest we've seen Father Time draw with an opponent. And it's spectacular. And if you don't appreciate it, you're just a first-class hater personified, and you have no depth or breadth of history or how hard any of this really is. And everything you ever learned about sports, you learned playing PlayStation on rookie mode. You know, that's who you are.
I don't want to even try to top that. It's brilliant.
That's who you are. So one of the other things, Sammy, that got me thinking about the man, because after Brock came out and played pretty well against Arizona, played very well against Arizona.
No, thank you. I was ready to, he played really well.
Right. But, you know, we're getting, you know, vintage Brock articles, and
that was funny. That
the other thing, and I'm happy to see that. I wouldn't want anything but that, but everyone is, your eyes are on the wrong thing here. And honestly, the 49ers have not had a single burp at quarterback all season. In a season full of injury vomit, quarterback hasn't even been a burp. That's how good Mac Jones was. So to me, as good as it's nice to see Brock do that, that just, one or the other kind of gets it done no matter what. And that's impressive. It really, really is. Christian fucking McCaffrey is everything to the 49ers. He is their everything. He is going to go 1,000 again this year. And I've always said, Sam, sometimes a player's value might get lost in their presence, but it's really easy to see in their absence. And McCaffrey, his offensive player of the year, the team was in the Super Bowl. The year he gets hurt, they were off the relevant radar.
Six wins.
Now that he's back, even though everything is going wrong at every depth, in every position room on the team, here they are right in the middle of a playoff conversation. And it's because Christian McCaffrey's wallet says bad motherfucker on it like nobody else's.
Not only does it say that, Damon, and the reason I really want to celebrate Christian McCaffrey is because look who the opponent is this week. So can we remember and thank the Carolina Panthers? Now, it truly, as a deep down Eagles fan, I want to I really want to tell the Panthers something else, but let's, for the Niners fans, let's thank the Panthers fans for one of the most unbelievable, I believe, was it a Wednesday night or a Thursday night when that story dropped? It was not in the heat of the trade deadline. It was ahead of it. It was one of those early moves that happens within the trade deadline window, but outside of whenever.
If we're going to do this, let's do it early, because this is the game changer. This is the move. So we're just going to get right to it.
It changed a franchise that was already headed in that direction. But I mean, it was adding, I mean, it was really kind of like when Derrick Henry joined the Ravens because the Ravens were so elite at running the ball anyway, because of Lamar. I mean, they were, and think about it. I mean, with Dobbins, they were doing it, with Gus Edwards, they were doing it. And then they dropped Derrick Henry into the mix. And it was like, wow, how do you add that to a team that was already, they were the best rushing team and then added Derrick Henry. Thanks. So with what Shanahan has done with running games, to add McCaffrey to that just felt like an unfair cheat code at the time. Look back at history. We did this once with the Titans to look at what happened since they had the one seed, and now they've got the number one pick. And of course, now they're through coaches. It's a disaster. But the Panthers, to be where they were with McCaffrey and now look at it, and maybe the Panthers are having a nice season right now. I don't want to take that away from them. I mean, partially because of two games against Atlanta, frankly, is why their season looks as good as it does. But
whatever, it's a step forward year for a team that needs to take a step forward.
But I'm so glad we got to see Saquon Barkley on an elite team. And I'm so glad that we get to see Christian McCaffrey on an elite team. And don't get it twisted. The Niners are an elite team, and that's why you're seeing Christian McCaffrey in Super Bowls. I mean, imagine how devastating it would have been to never see Shohei Ohtani play a playoff game, which would have happened if he stayed in Anaheim. And instead, he just goes, you know, an hour or no traffic, 30 minutes uptown. And now he's in the World Series twice. It's
why Ohtani will go down in history and Mike Trout will go down in fuzzy memories at best.
That's it. Mike Trout will be one of those that you're telling your grandchild because you have to tell him. Whereas Shohei Ohtani, your grandkid's going to have t-shirts with him on. He's going
to
be like,
you have to tell your grandkid about Shohei.
Exactly.
The universe will.
Thank you. Yes, it's done for you. There is no homework in regards to telling the story of Shohei Ohtani, whereas Mike Trout is one where you got to put his name at the ChatGPT and let it spit something out to you. So that's the difference. And in this conversation with McCaffrey, to see him at this level, and here's the other thing, because earlier this season, people were not necessarily understanding. And I kept telling you, no, every week he's on the field, it's historic. McCaffrey's the only player in the league who's woken up every Sunday with 100 yards. He walks into the stadium with 100 scrimmage yards.
And you want to know what the easiest bet is in the NFL? McCaffrey, anytime touchdown.
Anytime touchdown. And the only thing you, you would just be doing yourself a disservice to say whether he would catch it or run it in. That would be
one or the other.
Just take both and see what happens. And I'm going to painfully compare it to Saquon. Look, the Eagles, I'll give it to the Eagles. They're the best team in the NFC right now. They are. I mean, just look at their resume, who they've beaten. And they are the best team right now.
I was watching because you and I started late today. I was having a later lunch. My whole day was off.
Oh, the whole day is screwed. Yeah.
My whole day's all, I've been feeling backwards all day. Plus, it feels like it's a Friday for me because I'm taking off to LA. So I've just had a weird day. And I was sitting around. I was watching First Things First a little bit.
Nice.
With Nick Wright and Broussard.
We love Nick, yeah.
And Broussard brought up a point about the Eagles that I thought, I got to bring that up to Sammy today.
But
I want to give credit for it. He's like, I think they're keeping this A.J. Brown problem alive on purpose because the Eagles thrive in chaos. The more Nick Sirianni is about to get fired, the closer you are to repeating as Super Bowl champions. Like, this team loves yelling at each other. They love the noise. They seek the noise because they thrive in it, which, if you think about it, is that not the perfect mental makeup from a team from Philadelphia, the most angry at all times sports city in America?
I love it. Angry in the midst of being, again, we don't need to talk seeding this early in the season, but okay, they are that right now. They are that one seed.
Super Bowl champions, everyone's furious.
Everyone hates each other. Everyone thinks the coach is making lousy decisions. The tush push doesn't work, right? All of this. And then go ask Detroit, ask Dan Campbell what it was like playing the Eagles. Okay. Just look at the two games. Look at the Lions games back to back weeks. Look at the game against the Commanders and look again at the game against the Eagles. They set records offensively 6 days prior and then show up in Philadelphia and score 9 points. I mean, I'm sorry, no matter what you want to say about the Eagles, that's it, they're there. But my point was going to be about McCaffrey. Saquon Barkley, who's still special and you still have to stop him and he's still a major part of what they do. And every game, if you really dissect, he's got a play in each game that's like, okay, they would not have won if Saquon doesn't make that play. But he's not making one every other time he touches the ball the way he was a season before, okay? And my point is about consistency. Saquon Barkley had the most historic season as a running back of all time, I will argue, last season. Most yards ever when you combine regular season and postseason, finishing with a Super Bowl ring. Good luck finding something better than that ever. So he did it. But McCaffrey is showing up every week with 100 yards. And yes, he was injured last season, but when you look at his season from Offensive Player of the Year and his season now, and everything he did in Carolina, by the way, Christian McCaffrey was better in Carolina, I will argue, than Saquon was in New York. Am I crazy to say that?
The Niners would have already had that championship had they drafted him instead of Solomon Thomas. Oh. I mean, good God. If he had been a career Niner, if this had been a guy here this entire time, what might have, could have, would have happened. Although Shanahan probably would have had him had touched the ball so many times, he wouldn't even be alive anymore. He'd already be medevaced to freaking Cedar Sinai. But, the guy is so special, and you can talk about Brock and the vintage game and blah, 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 and this defense and all the problems and the headaches and the anxiety and all that stuff. It's just Christian McCaffrey. As long as he is healthy, the team has a nearly 3 out of 4 chance of winning. Christian McCaffrey's record with the 49ers in just terms of what is the team wins and losses with this guy in the room? I wrote it down earlier. They're 29 wins, 11 losses. That's a 725 winning percentage. And a 725 winning percentage for a football team usually turns into guys go into the Hall of Fame and championships are won.
29-11 is coach of the year. Like, that just, I'm sorry, but 29-11 is absolute. In fact, I'd love to know. We should do this. I'll do it for next time. How many coaches over that stretch are 29-11? How many coaches over the stretch of the last 40 games are 29-11? It's probably, it's not even, Andy, I don't even think Andy Reid is that. Sirianni may have it. I don't know that it's, it's really probably Sirianni.
For a minute there, LaFleur.
Right, LaFleur, he was, and he was Mr. Regular Season. But
by the way, did you see that they had a, should Matt LaFleur be on the hot seat conversation for the first time in his career this week? And he almost greeted it like a, I wondered how long it would take for you to get here. Exactly. Sort of like he's like, I knew he was coming.
This is a guy that, by the way, and I always say this much. I always say Aaron Rodgers' greatest, his greatest regret is going to be leaving Matt LaFleur. I think that the Rodgers, the journey he took after LaFleur is something he will regret.
By the way, let me just say, if the Chicago Bears can't beat Aaron Rodgers with a broken wrist as he's a Steeler at the end of his career, dude, this is, they should put Aaron Rodgers into the Chicago Ring of Honor if he beats them again.
No, there should be a stat. There should be a statue outside of that stadium of Rodgers. Yes, you're right. If he does, yes. If he does this now, yes. This is the season when Chicago's turning everything on their head. And is there? I mean, is this team better? I mean, we're all over the place, but we're in an NFC conversation right now, and we're talking. Like, if we were ranking, if we had to sort of power rank the NFC,
there are no rules.
There are no rules, Damon. But let's just do it for fun of it, and you can let us know if we're wrong. If we're power ranking the NFC right now, and I, even if you were power ranking the NFC North, it's tough. But let's give the Bears their flowers in this moment that we can. Is this better than the Trubisky team that won the division, hosted the Eagles in the double doink Cody Parkey game, which otherwise, by the way, Trubisky made a play at the end of that game to win that game. I'm pretty sure it was Allen Robinson he hit to put them in field goal range in that game. It was a great play. The Eagles, Foles had passed it to Golden Tate, who was an Eagle for 5 minutes. They seemingly won the game. I think it was a fourth down touchdown pass that Foles made, putting the Eagles up. And then Trubisky comes back and puts the Bears into absolutely makeable field goal range. And the double doink happens. That team, that was Nagy, right? Yeah, that was Nagy and Trubisky. That team won the division. It was the year after the Eagles had won the Super Bowl the first time when they beat Brady. That year, Foles had to come in again. They went. Bottom line is, that was a great Bears team. A story sort of out of nowhere, coming in to host a playoff game, to win that. It's not that long. Like, we think, oh, the Bears have been terrible for all this time. But, so I'm asking you, are they better than that team? I mean, I would argue what they're doing collectively feels in this moment more impressive than even that team. And
For the first time, the Bears are playing a brand of football that feels sustainable. It's not they're totally one week and gone the next. It's they're both weeks, but this week a mistake was made and they didn't win. You know, I still don't know about Caleb Williams. I'm a believer in Ben Johnson.
And by the way, the game that said it to me, it's that Giants win. And as much as the Giants game will be remembered for Dable's, you know, final disaster, which it was, I mean, the Giants absolutely just filled their diaper at the end of that game. I mean, it was bad. But I watched Ben Johnson's face in that game because he was so thoroughly disappointed with the way that it was going through 3.5 quarters. And you just thought, this is one where Ben Johnson's asking himself, like, am I enough to truly change the fortune of this franchise? Or is there just something in the water or on the plane or in the hotel sheets? Like, is there something that's just wrong with what's going on here that I'm not going to be able to change? Because we should not be losing like this to this Giants team.
By the way, I've always said it's Virginia McCaskey and they weren't going to win until she's dead. Yeah, well, she's dead.
And there you go. And then you just move out of the way and let's carry on. That
Virginia.
Was her there you go. And guess what? There were more questions about Trubisky than there are about Caleb Williams, I think, really. Because nobody thought Trubisky. No one was convinced. They were in that playoff. No one was convinced Trubisky was the guy then. Right? And there's that many questions. And of course we could say Caleb a better athlete? I mean, I don't want to get it twisted though. Trubisky was good. He had an amazing escapability. Like, Trubisky was very good that season.
I won't take away the best year he had.
Sure.
But and that, yeah. Other locations, it hasn't worked out. I mean, it's just... Overdrafted is the best way to describe Mitchell Trubisky experience.
But will Caleb, that's a question. Will Caleb will have to wear that also. And because of what Jaden Daniels did last season, there's always... Like, he's... So we're still going to compare to that, right? Are the Bears... And are the Bears going to be in the NFC Championship this year? I mean, Jaden did do that no matter what. And so that might always be the comparison, but something's working out. I think you're right. I think it's easier for us to just say that Ben Johnson makes sense and the jury's still out.
A little breaking news this afternoon as we discuss the man returning, elevating, lifting all the boats in the harbor as if the tide had come in. Joe Burrow might be back under center this week for the Bengals against Drake May. First of all, isn't that an interesting conversation right there? Somebody, I guess, brought up, like, is Drake May better than Joe Burrow? And Joe Burrow's like, get me back on this fucking practice field. Let's go.
Done. I'm ready.
This makes the Ja'Marr Chase spitting thing even worse, though. It's seriously even worse. You're Ja'Marr Chase. You are the most important Cincinnati Bengal as long as Joe Burrow is on the IR. And you are going to get yourself disqualified for the next week because you spit in the face of Jalen Ramsey, who is, you know, by the way, first team getting all under skins. Jalen Ramsey's fantastic.
Instigator. Really instigator. And great. I mean, by the way, great on the field and an absolute instigator. Yes.
As he maybe is losing a step, his counter move to his aging is, I'm going to just get into your head.
You want to neutralize somebody? Yeah, get him off the field. Get him off the field for the entire game. Yeah, exactly. So,
Ja'Marr Chase says, by the way, he didn't spit. And then, you know, 70 different cameras and different angles.
Oh, yeah. No.
They all said you did. Listen to how stupid this is, though. They might be getting Burrow back, but this might be their most winnable game. And the Patriots are good. Their next four are Patriots at Baltimore, at Buffalo, and then home to Baltimore.
No, this is, look, much like we said Baltimore was in position to win this division even when they were 1-5. And yes, I said they're winning the division. I still stand by that.
Yeah. Well, they have to sweep. They sweep in the next month, the Bengals, if they're going to do what they do.
Correct. They've got to. And they don't have to. They already stepped in it, right? They've already stepped in it enough that they can't now trip up, right? For Baltimore to really be where they want to be, they have to now be perfect. And there's plenty of games in the past where they've been the better team and not come out as on top from the scoreboard standpoint. They cannot let that happen again. And they will be favored in their games moving forward. They will be. Baltimore will be. But the Burrow thing is awesome. And I was so excited that Flacco was there to keep it afloat. But I'm going to argue that Cincinnati, once again, even if Burrow comes back and plays at an elite level, it's that Pittsburgh game this past weekend that's going to screw them. That was that pick six that Flacco threw in a game that was still winnable. That's going to cost. It's going to come down to a game again. And it came down to a game last season also because they ripped through it at the end of the season. That game against Denver in overtime was unbelievable. The Bengals had put themselves, despite a crappy start to the season, they put themselves in position to be a playoff team, but they needed too much to happen in week 18 and it didn't happen. And it feels like that is going to be the exact same situation yet again. But I love a Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game with Burrow absolutely at his best. I love a Cincinnati-Baltimore Ravens game with Burrow at his best. That's when we say the AFC North is the best division in football, when we can see those matchups that way.
Not that anyone wants to hear about my fantasy anxiety, but okay, I had Burrow on IR. He was my big pick this year.
Way to go, Stash.
Well, here's the thing, though. In order to start playing Burrow, I have to bench Matthew Stafford. Why would anyone be benching Matthew Stafford, right? I'm going to have a few games out of Burrow before I'm benching Matthew Stafford.
Who's I think you ride that one. And that was the bubble Super Bowl of 2020 between those two as well. So that'll be interesting for you to have that internal debate as we saw played out in the field that day. The Chase thing is interesting, though. As much as I hate, first of all, as an Eagles fan, I have to say, really, you got thrown out for spitting at a guy in a season that started with Jalen Carter being an idiot spitting at Dak Prescott. Like, come on. This is top of mind for everybody. We're not going to do that. Okay. That's the one just impossible to referee any other way than to say, yes, see you later. We missed it in the game, so you're missing one. Because the conversation already surrounded Carter, whether he was going to miss two games. Carter was thrown out of that Cowboys game, and the conversation week two was, should he be allowed on the field now? Because he technically should be suspended a game for doing that, and he did it in a game. So there was all that. So Chase, you're definitely going to be gone. The only really nice part about this is now if Burrow wins that game without him, it just elevates the Burrow conversation that much.
Man, absolutely. Of course,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And he's got Higgins and he has an incredible rapport anyway with Higgins, but trust me, he wanted Chase out there.
Oh, you're going to want that guy.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a determination of why isn't he playing? Is he hurt? No.
No.
He spit on someone. What? Come on. Just, by the way, don't spit on anyone. That's fucking disgusting. That,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, so it's funny. I saw Albert Breer right this week, and it happened because of how that Monday night game with the Eagles ended with the worst pass interference call you're going to see.
Sunday night. Yeah. Sunday night. Bad call.
You know, Albert Breer immediately tweeted, I'll reiterate my stance. Officiating needs to be torn down to the studs. They need to rebuild it with the technology that is now available. And what they've done instead, which is to continually add on to what they already have, just overcomplicates everything. And clearly it is not working. I agree with him. I think that we do need to use as much technology as possible to get it right, get it faster. I do think for years now we've been saying these officials all need to be made full-time. They need to be taking off-season mental reps, watching film as much as players, grinding away. Referees need to do that. But not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, Sam, but I know for a fact that nothing brings more eyeballs to attention than outrage, conjecture, anger. And I honestly think that if you offer the NFL a chance to fix their officiating problem, but get 8% less conversation in the zeitgeist because no one's complaining about officials Monday through Saturday, I don't think the NFL would take that deal. I think the NFL's a little bit like Jerry Jones in that regard, where they do believe any publicity is good publicity, and angry fans screaming about officials actually drives more people to the game than drives them away. And if you don't believe me, through 10 weeks, NFL games are averaging 17.6 million viewers. That is up 7% from last season and is tracking to be the best mark in a decade. So,
which isn't surprising, because the trend is just that the NFL can do no wrong. And every year the Super Bowl breaks its record from the year before. 17 million is a staggering number to really hear out loud for just an average. That's remarkable. But congratulations. My thought on officiating is very simple. And I love that you said commit in the offseason to watching and learning. I think it's so much easier than that. Every league needs this item. And I'm willing to put these partnerships together, please. It's the common sense hotline from the operational center, wherever that is, with Toronto in hockey, New York in the NFL, whatever it is. All I want is a phone that can ring in every stadium. And all we say is, hey, we're not blaming anybody. Nobody's fault. But that's not pass interference. Hey, sorry, just wanted to let you know that was out of bounds. Hey, sorry, he was actually safe at second base. You know what? That was a high stick and it caused the guy to bleed. That's a 4-minute. Just if anyone anywhere can see with visual proof that something happened or didn't happen, that should be available to the league to make a judgment based on that. A common sense hotline that just says, hi, this did happen or this didn't happen, with definitive proof right here. That's it. Why is that difficult? Why should we have the ability to do that with certain plays?
Right.
But not all plays. This
play is disqualified for review because of what? And if you're saying, well, we're not going to review judgment calls, there literally is no call that needs to be a higher priority review than some of these judgment calls with the poor judgment that we're seeing applied to them over and over and over again.
It just give me the ability to overrule something in the moment. And again, I'm not asking the fans to overrule it. We're not having everyone vote in the stadium. We're just making a phone call from league headquarters. That's all I need. I need a common sense hotline from headquarters. That's all. And again, no blame. We're not calling out the rep. Oh, you screwed that up. No. You saw what you saw. That's fine. But the proof is here that that's not what happened. That's all we want to do. And yes, look, AJ Brown tripped on a play earlier in that game and was called for a low block. I will argue that somewhere along the lines, the officiating crew was told that. Like, we blew that. It's not a penalty. The guy fell and just like, so is that a makeup at the end? I don't know. And I don't love the idea of chasing makeup calls either.
Right.
Because then something becomes egregious and is unnecessary. And yes, you can say in a game it evens out, and largely it does. But in a day and age of social media and everyone having basically instant replay on their phone, there's too many opportunities to you be proven incorrect in your judgment call that we should wipe that out. Why put that pressure? In real time, you got to understand how hard that is to officiate in real time. Okay, wipe that out. Right. I understand. In other words, I'm not blaming you for getting it wrong in real time.
I have a crystal clear understanding of how hard this is, which is why I encourage you to use the technology that you have available to you to make it a little less difficult.
And the technology, we're not creating the technology. That's the other thing. I mean, it'd be one thing to say, wow, I wish we had the ability to pause the game and rewind. We'd get everything right. Okay, that technology is there. I wish we had an ability to look at two frames simultaneously to understand if somebody is off the bag or on the bag. Oh, we have it.
Right.
It exists. It exists, and it exists in a way where get it right. And frankly, who cares how long it takes even? We're interested in getting it right.
We're not going anywhere.
That's the other thing. Right. Guess what? Oh, the game's too. Like, who's complaining about who's complaining about the length of an NFL game? Nobody.
Right. You're not going to turn an NFL game into a college game. It's not going to go that long. So, oh, by the way, and if game clock and running time is a concern, nothing's slowing this game down more than all these bullshit flags.
Exactly. Exactly. And guess what? As much as I said that part of the common sense hotline is about not assigning blame, the official is going to internally feel that. He's going to feel like, okay, I got that one wrong. And the next time he goes to throw the flag, he's going to think about it. Did that actually happen? Am I going to be called out essentially? So it's going to change the way the game is officiated.
Sammy, I got a Just Saying coming up, and then we're going to do it today in history. But one more item before we get there. Because another thing that I've seen just an awful lot today is I've been consuming some shows that I normally don't watch because you and I came on later in the afternoon.
Yes.
Is the debate about whether or not Kansas City's Super Bowl window, is it already closed? I mean, and no, every single person in the media wants to be the very first to officially throw the bucket of water on the fire and say, it's over, it's closed. And I know fans are dying to hear that in many, many ways. And look, it might be for this season. I think I'm going to actually have to see the asterisk that says they've been eliminated before I would believe it, but I don't think we've heard the last of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. They're definitely not the only team in the AFC West anymore. I'll say that. I don't think they're about to win their 10th division title in a row. They've won 9 of these bad boys in a row,
which is insane.
Definitely.
The NFC East hasn't put together back-to-back champions in like 20 years.
Yeah. You know, they're 5-5. That's not the most concerning part of it, though. It's that Mahomes is having the worst completion percentage of his career. But watch Mahomes. That's not on him. Nope. He's not different. You got guys suspended deep into the year. Now Rashi Rice is here. You got Travis Kelce, the only player on this team with 40 catches or more so far. So it is the rest of the Chiefs letting the Chiefs down. As long as you have the head coach and the quarterback right, and a defense that matters, you can turn it around again. This might not be the year for the Chiefs. You want to know another reason why it might be ending for them? It's Harrison Butker's fault. It's not the head coach's fault. It's not Patrick Mahomes' fault. He's missed more kicks so far this year than he missed all of last year. And what were the Chiefs best at last year? Winning the close ones. What are they terrible at this year? Haven't done it yet. Win the close ones.
They're awful in one score. They have one. I think they're 1-5 in one score games this season. That we're so not used to seeing that number. They've lost every close game this season. And that is the makeup of who they've been over the last two seasons. So yeah, it's shocking to see it. I also would put my money right now, said it so many times, if you gave me Ravens, Bills, Chiefs to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl right now, I'm still taking that ticket. I'm still taking that ticket. I understand Denver and Indy, right? I get what's happening here. But if you gave me Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, right, one of those three will be there in the Super Bowl, I'd sign up for that.
I'm going to tell you right now, if AFC wildcard weekend served up Bills or Chiefs, Broncos or whatever, you know.
Sure, which it very well could.
I think the Chiefs will go deeper in the playoffs than the Broncos will this year, just because when those championship rounds, when that bell rings, when don't the Chiefs answer that bell? You know, I'm going to have to see them not do it. I'm going to have to see them not be in the ring before I disqualify them from even answering that bell. They are in the fight until they ain't.
That's it. And look, the Niners, we understood what was happening with the Niners last season, because the Niners had those significant injuries at the most important positions, but the Chiefs are largely healthy in those. And I don't want to talk about weapons necessarily, because they've won with similar weapons. I've seen them win, right? I mean, Thornton and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and Juju Smith-Schuster is not even the worst collection of receivers they've ever had. So I don't really, and Hollywood Brown, I don't want to talk about the idea that somehow it's to blame. They've put this team together in a very similar fashion to what they've done over the last few seasons. Is it okay that someone in the AFC West finally is at that level? And guess what? They're going to get another crack at Denver. Last year, they blocked the kick. This year, they didn't. I mean, think about it. I mean, Denver's lining up for a game-winning kick in the same way they were last season. Last year, the Chiefs made an unbelievable play on special teams and blocked that kick and remained at that time perfect for that season. But you know what? The Chiefs are going to be in the playoffs. The Chargers look like garbage this weekend in Jacksonville. Like, there's plenty of time left for a team that saves their best for December and January anyway. So I can't go there. And I don't want to compare everything to New England, but there were plenty of seasons when New England was not all that impressive. And there they were again at the end. And I'm just willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the Chiefs. And look, maybe that Super Bowl against the Eagles will be the turning point. Maybe we will turn back one day and say, wow, they were never the same after that. And people will blame Taylor Swift, whatever. But it would be okay if that happened after the run of dominance they've had. As you said, 9 straight division titles. And again, I mean, think about the Hall of Fame coaches they're going up against. I know Pete Carroll's not crushing it right now with Silver and Black, but you got Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh joining Andy Reid in that division. I mean, I'm sorry, that's a significant upgrade to what's been surrounding Andy Reid in that division in recent years. So it's no doubt that it's going to be a tougher road to just annihilate everyone in that division. And that's okay. And that's part of it. And everyone doesn't look so pretty right now. And 5-5, yeah, you're not in the conversation about the best team in the league right now. They're not worried about that conversation until January. They're just not.
And let me just say, they are a 3.5 point favorite at home against the Colts. So maybe the rumors of their demise are a bit much, at least for Las Vegas. I do feel like we're at the point in the monster movie where, you know, they might have killed the monster, but then unfortunately all of our heroes have gathered for a group hug, and off screen, they haven't noticed the monster's finger twitching still. And they didn't drive the stake in Dracula's heart. Not yet. But again, the movie's got 25 minutes left in it. Yeah. So we'll know that Dracula's coming back here at one point.
Something is happening.
Sammy, just saying.
Love it.
Was your idea for a segment. You came up with it weeks ago. We've embraced it. We've loved it. Do you have a just saying ready to go today? Because I'm just saying, you were the busy one today that had to push back. So maybe you're just saying you didn't have time for it today.
I want you to give me a just saying first. I'm going to let you order first at the restaurant. Okay. And then we'll see. Then we'll see if I've made my decision by the time that you're through. I'm thrilled that you've got one. I can't wait to hear it.
Whenever you say I'm going to let you order first, I was at a restaurant with my buddy Dan Duran, who's and to this day, I still text it to him. He orders and then he turns and he says, and the lady will have the duck. He ordered for his girlfriend and the lady will have the duck. And we've been holding that over him for about 15
That's
minutes.
That's amazing.
The lady will have the duck.
Great order, by the way. I do recommend it, but that's incredible. The lady will have the duck. So Damon today, yes. Damon, you know, Damon's been here a few times, right? Have you dined with us before, sir? You know what? I haven't. So I'm going to let Damon order first. All right.
If the Browns beat the Raiders with Shedeur Sanders getting his first career start, Mark Davis should have to sell the fucking team. That's it. If you're looking for the low point of your franchise, that's it, buddy. If you're looking for it, there it is. So the player that you passed on, that everyone said was worth passing on, that just made his debut and didn't exactly look crackerjack in his debut, if he comes into your building with a bad team and beats you, Pete Carroll needs to be fired, and Mark Davis should have to sell the team. That's it. Like, what more do you need to let me know? That would be a full referendum on ownership. Like, all of your instincts have been proven completely wrong when it comes to who to draft, who to hire. You don't know which new coaches to hire. You don't know which old coaches to hire. You don't know which quarterbacks to draft. You don't know which quarterbacks to add via free agency. Tom Brady ain't helping at all. He's a worse part owner than he is a broadcaster, for goodness sakes. And I'm just telling you, the one thing Mark Davis got right, he didn't have the conviction to stand by it when the heat got turned up on John Gruden because of those emails. Mark Davis should have said, fuck your feelings. He's my coach. He didn't. And it's been lost in the woods ever since. If they lose to the Browns and Shedeur, I want Siciliano immediately joining us.
Okay. Immediately. I love it. I love it. And now.
Like, I want him to exit the Browns broadcast early to join us.
I love that, and I will. And I hung out with Andrew at the Lakers game last night as well. And so hello to everyone here who's with us, Thinking Out Loud, Siciliano and Sam. Siciliano and Sam were there taking in LeBron last night. And so LeBron is a Cleveland thread. Andrew's a Cleveland thread. What you just said about Shedeur is a Cleveland thread. And my just saying is going to stay on the Cleveland end as well. I made this point earlier. I was talking to DeMarco Hall. I was talking to DeMarco Farr in the hallway here earlier this week. And my point was because Rams.
Did you see that name?
Is that nice? Was that nice? Yeah. But I mean, it's nice to have that. Absolutely. If you got it, right? It's nice. I mean, if you can have a conversation with a Hall of Fame Super Bowl champ, I mean, you do it, right? Yeah, I mean, not Hall of Fame, but when you got a Super Bowl champ hanging out, you want to talk to him. So DeMarco, I was noticing the Rams have absolute game wreckers on their defensive line. The Eagles this week made plays on their defensive line with Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter swatting down the ball from Jared Goff. Defense is now recognized in a different way than it used to be in this league. And what I want to say to that is the sack used to be the term that you would use to define a defensive player. And now defensive players are defined on batting the ball down, pressures of the quarterback, right? If you are disrupting a play at all, it counts. And now there are metrics about measuring defensive players that aren't just about sacks.
Sammy, not to cut you off, have you seen the Amazon Prime heat map and the pocket pressure map around the quarterback?
On the alternate.
That is one of the coolest new elements that they've incorporated. It's nice.
It's beautiful. And the reason is, Damon, is because these elite players on every team and again, after what the Eagles did to Mahomes in the Super Bowl, everyone's chasing that idea of how can we get to the quarterback? But again, it's not ultimately the sack that makes the difference. It's just the pressure. If you can alter that play, if you can screw up the timing, if you can get in his kitchen, as they say, right, that makes the difference. So what I'm just saying is,
this is what the Niners are hoping for. I don't know how many sacks they got left in them this season. They're just hoping for pressures.
Exactly. But my point is, in a world in which I just set that up and DeMarco Farr agreed with me and said, players are now out to say it's not about sacks. They want different things written into their incentives because you're getting fewer and fewer quarterbacks to the ground now. You're disrupting. And in a league that wants to penalize you for getting so close to the quarterback, right? I mean, think about it. Bringing a quarterback to the ground can end up getting you penalized. Whereas if you've disrupted the play, just get out of there, right? If you've backed his own lineman up into him, why go after and get him on the ground at that point, other than you chasing the idea that you're going to be measured on sacks, right? I mean, in the end, we're going to say this player had so many sacks and that makes him worthwhile. Our first conversation anytime when Huff joins the Niners, right? When Bryce Huff in the offseason, what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that 2 seasons ago, he had 10 and a half sacks, right? Like that's the one thing we want to go to instead of understanding what players are doing. So I'm setting all of that up, but I'm just saying Myles Garrett had 4 sacks this weekend against the Ravens. 4 sacks in one game. Where I'm telling you, players are not getting sacks the same way they used to. They don't even have to because their team recognizes that they are disrupting plays even when they get close to the quarterback. Myles Garrett had 4 sacks against the Ravens. And what I'm just saying is, it wasn't even his best game in a month. He sacked the quarterback 4 times, and in the game prior, he'd done it 5 times.
Isn't that something else? He's first of all, he's a very, very special player. There's no denying that at all. The team around him on the defensive line has gotten better. So I don't think you can pay the amount of attention to him that you used to. And when you take one eye off him, if you're not chip blocking that guy, if you're leaving him one-on-one, he's going to win that rep. Like
5 sacks in a game and 4 sacks in another game. I don't know that we will see a stretch of 3 weeks of football that includes that maybe ever again. I mean, quarterbacks do not, think about it. We were just talking about officiating, the amount of times that plays get wiped out by penalties.
Right.
Nine sacks in two games is obscene.
So, you know, one of the most famous Al Davis sayings there was the quarterback must go down hard. You know, you just got to cut it off.
Yes.
The quarterback must go down. Leave the hard part out of it because right. That's a flag in the modern NFL.
It is. It is. And that just wipes out all of that hard work. And yet what he has done, I just can't even understand how special that is. So again, week 8, 5 sacks, and week 11 with a bye week in between there, 4 sacks. We're just not going to see anything like that ever again. 5 on New England and 5 and 4 against the Ravens.
It's 9 just, over the course of 2 games.
Two years removed from a defensive player of the year. Just wow.
I don't think you'll see 9 total sacks from the 49ers between now and the end of their year.
And by the way, let's put this number. We will remember this when we speak at the end of the season. Let's just say how many players that are paid for that statistic will have 9 sacks for the entirety of the season. How many? It's a short list. Trust me.
Right.
It's a short list.
Right. Absolutely, it is. That is a short list. By the way, poor Shador, when he was making his Rocky NFL debut, because Dylan Gabriel got concussed, his house got broken into. And Sam, I think we talked about this a couple of months ago. If I am a professional athlete right now, I want it in my contract that whenever I'm playing a game, you have to send a security guard to sit in a folding chair at the end of my driveway. Because a lot of these guys are living in gated communities in the first place, and that's still not stopping this rash of break-ins that is happening to professional athletes. I'm going to need the team to pay for somebody to keep an eye on my house because there is definitely a flag up in the criminal community. The one time you know this guy ain't going to be here for sure and all of his family is when the game is on.
And it's the second quarterback in the AFC North over the last 12 months that's had this happen.
Right.
Because it happened to Burrow last season. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, and this happened to Kelsey. This happened to Mahomes.
Yeah.
This is a problem. I think this happened to Justin Herbert.
Right. Yeah.
So that's got to stop. Anyways, are you ready for a little history? Sam, some history today.
Yeah, we did.
Later than usual show. We want to thank everyone for being here. If you have not hit like or subscribe, please do so. Eat at Ike's, drink at the Dubliner West Portal, and make sure you're using promo code Damon when you sign up for Sleeper, America's fastest growing fantasy app. Anyways, happy birthdays. Well, we got some very, very good acting, some ladies coming up here, but Calvin Klein, 83 years old today. Calvin Klein, there you go, right? I mean,
I won't show you the waistline in my pants right now, but definitely I am a brand ambassador, let's say. I mean, no one's helping me to get there, but I have been the ambassador for Calvin Klein for quite some time.
Between Sam and his Calvin. Nope,
that's right. Way to go, Calvin.
83 years old for Calvin Klein today. Allison Janney. Who is funny in everything she's in. 66 years old. She's hysterical in, there is a Kirsten Dunst mockumentary about a beauty pageant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
That is called like Dress to Kill or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
She is so funny in that as the women who she's the she's the woman in the trailer next to Helen Hunt or whoever, who is, oh God, who is that? Who plays her mother? Anyway, I'm blanking.
It's Drop Dead Gorgeous, right? Drop Dead Gorgeous. Drop Dead
Gorgeous. That's
yes.
it.
It's yes. Drop Dead Gorgeous. Yes.
And yeah, she's so funny in that. Helen Hunt is not in that, by the way.
That's all right. But we got it right with Kirsten Dunst, and it is. That's a great one.
Happy birthday to Meg Ryan. I'll have what she's having today. She's 64.
Yes.
One of the all-time.
Harry Met Sally, yeah. And also Sleepless in Seattle. And You've Got Mail. Yeah, beautiful.
And then went a little heavy with the surgery and doesn't even look like Meg Ryan that much anymore. Like, sometimes you got to lay off the plastique, if you don't mind me saying, Meg. Happy 63rd birthday to Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster's never not been really good in every movie she's ever been in. That's saying something.
Yes.
Happy birthday to Jack Dorsey. Part of that PayPal Kabul. Uh-oh. He took that money and started a little something called Twitter. You might have heard of it. He's 49 years old today. Made some cash in his career.
And again, a young man. Good for him.
Happy 46th birthday now to Ryan Howard. Howard of the Philadelphia Phillies.
I'll say this much. My cousin Jack liked to say that every time Ryan Howard's up, he is either striking out or hitting a home run. He said, I don't understand. Every time I see Ryan Howard, he's doing one of two things. That's it. I mean, he's just that. That's all it is. He's either striking out or hitting home run. There's nothing in between. And you've never seen a dynasty. You've never seen a dynasty end so definitively on one player's Achilles heel as what happened with Ryan Howard against the Cardinals in 2011, I believe it was, in a 1-0 loss in game 5. They had been World Series champs, then they lost in the World Series, then they lost the Giants in the NLCS, and then in the NLDS the next year they lost the Cardinals, and the last out was Ryan Howard grounding out, I believe it was, to Carpenter, and that was it.
They haven't seen him since.
Nope. Rollins, Utley, Howard, all of it. Cole Hamels, Halliday, obviously, RIP. It was all done right there.
Happy 42nd birthday, Adam Driver.
Oh, great. Adam
Driver is pretty good in his stuff.
Girl, by the way, for those that don't appreciate Adam Driver, the series Girls, as much as you might think, like, I'm not watching that. It's
excellent. By the way, you know what's excellent? Because you gave me a recommend, and we are through 3 seasons of Hacks.
Yes.
Joan started Hacks. It's great. It's a great, it is Joan Rivers 100%, and it is fantastic. I love Hacks. If you love Stanley Cups and punching taxi drivers, if I got a happy birthday for you, happy birthday to Patrick Kane. 37 years old already. I remember when Patrick Kane was Macklin Celebrini.
Yeah, he was
going to be the next guy. And he was, in many ways, the next guy.
He was.
That guy won big. He won.
And speaking of next guy in the place that loves Patrick Kane the most, Connor Bedard also had a hat trick to not let Macklin Celebrini be the only one last night. Good for Connor Bedard. And that's sort of the comparison right now, is Macklin and Connor Bedard. You're talking about them both like that. And it was great to see them both with the hat trick. But Patrick Kane, quickly to what you said, the night that Patrick Kane scored against Michael Layton to win the cup in game 6 in Philadelphia against my Flyers.
No one saw the goal.
It was behind Michael Layton. He didn't even realize. And to this day, the rumor is still that Chris Pronger took that puck from the net and never, the Blackhawks still don't have it. The story goes that Pronger, the myth is that Pronger still has that puck and never gave it back to them, which is a pretty outstanding story. Way to go, Pronger, on that one. And the fact that Patrick Kane is now a Detroit Red Wing is just wild. But Patrick Kane that night, yes, my amazing cousin Jack had a really wild cab ride after that one. That was a rough night.
Indeed it was. Oh, hey, the wife is back. She's
returned. Jillian, yes,
she's returned. All right, that means we got to go get kids soon. Okay,
let's here do
we go. Today in 1620, oh no, wait a minute, one more birthday. Happy birthday, how could we forget, I guess, out of sight, out of mind, happy 29th birthday, Fred Warner.
Yes.
49ers miss you, Fred. Absolutely. Especially with Tatum Bethune, by the way, now going maybe to IR for a little bit. I think they signed Stone Blanton. Linebacker will be an adventure for the rest of the year for the Niners. 1620, the Mayflower reached Cape Cod today. How about that? Happy welcome to America, Mayflower. Today in 1805. Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean, becoming the first Europeans to cross the continent of the United States.
It's not bad. I mean, when you're wondering, by the way, here's what's amazing. When I hear that.
We were talking about traffic in LA and how you hate it. Imagine you got to walk across the United States or have a like a donkey pull a wagon to get you there.
What's amazing about Lewis and Clark is that I feel that good about my directional understanding when I'm able to get home without my navigation now. It's like I have to remind myself every once in a while that I actually know where I'm going. We're so used to typing it into our phone and letting that dictate how we're going to drive everywhere now that once in a while I just put it in my pocket and I say, I know how to go. I know how to get there. I've done it 100 times without this. And think about Lewis and Clark doing that in a day and age that didn't involve any of that. Like looking at the sun and measuring and figuring out how to get like just wow. Yeah.
Where do you think we are right now? Well, it's daytime and I can't see the stars, so I don't know.
Just wait until the moon like intersects and then I can figure out what latitude we're at. What are you kidding me? Wow.
Today in 1911, New York received the first Marconi wireless transmission from Italy. Probably said, hey, can we get a table at Rao's? And they're like, no. So that is 1911. Today in 1953, the United States Supreme Court in a 7-2 vote voted that baseball was a sport, not a business.
And I'd argue today, it's like they're ready to go back to that. It's going the other direction now.
Definitely both. today in 1975, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was released in theaters. Kind of a big deal movie. It's the ultra rare Oscars sweep. It won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Screenplay.
And Scene.
And that's, and who would have ever thought that the single most relevant dude sitting in that circle of crazy people and Hall of Fame actors to this day would be Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito is now more relevant in the zeitgeist than Jack is.
True. I mean, depending on what the Lakers do, but yes, you're right. And thanks to Jersey Mike's. Yeah, you're probably right.
I bet you if you put Danny DeVito in a room full of 15-year-olds and said, who's this? At least 4 or 5 would be able to say, that's Danny DeVito. I don't know how many 15-year-olds would recognize Jack Nicholson right now.
It's a terrifying statement, but you're absolutely right.
That's something else. You're going to like this the most. Sammy, today in 1978, it's the miracle at the Meadowlands.
Oh.
Herm Edwards returned the fumble with 31 seconds left to give Philadelphia a 19-17 win over the New York Giants. And really, if you think about it, that's only like the 10th worst loss in Giants history.
It is. That's the sick part. I even had one this season. But in many ways, did this give birth to the tush push? Just follow me on this, because this changed forever. Certainly the kneel down. So that play created the kneel down, because what the Giants were doing there, they were trying to run out the clock. They'd won the game. They'd gotten the ball back. It was over. All they had to do is let the clock spin out. And because they tried a handoff instead of the quarterback just simply kneeling down, that's how Herm was able to recover that fumble. They right. screwed up on the exchange there when they didn't even need to be running a play at all. So it definitely created.
The Miami Hurricanes with Crystal Ball last year lost a game.
Yes, similarly, same.
Where they're yes. running plays to big dick their way off the football field, and they screwed it up.
And it will forever be synonymous with what the Giants did that day. And I would look for my lifetime, Miracle at the Meadowlands 2, which is the DeSean Jackson walk-off punt against the Giants. Yes. I appreciate that one more. But think about the Raiders actually had one last season against the Chiefs in a way. Now, granted, they had to kick a field goal. But remember, Aiden O'Connell, all he had to do was he was going to get the snap and probably walk over to the hash they wanted to kick the game-winning field goal against the Chiefs on. And instead, they screwed up. They snapped it before he was ready for the ball.
Fumble.
And it was a fumble, and they lost the game right there. So, but yeah, that one's a glorious one. And Herm Edwards is famous for many things. He was most famous for that. Before he said you play to win the game, certainly he was most famous for that.
By the way, right on cue. Boom, Christopher, you play to win the game. Okay, today in 1990... a very first time in the history of the Grammys, a group or duo had their Grammy stripped from them. It was a bad day for Milli Vanilli. Mm. sadly, one of them, I think, took their lives, right? I mean, I don't know which one. Either way, it had been proven that neither man sang on the album. So they took the Grammy back.
Yeah, we're going to need that.
Would that have been discovered without the skipped voice track during their performance? I wonder, would there have been an investigation without that one embarrassing onstage moment where the two of them were lip syncing and had to go running? And by the way, lip syncing at a concert is pretty common in pop
music. Now,
I wouldn't think that would have been the "oh, gotcha" moment, but that obviously led to the questions that undid the whole thing.
It's awesome. And there is, I believe there is a piece on that, right? There's a documentary on this, which is well worth your time.
But behind the music,
it's behind the music, basically. Exactly. And it's staggering and kind of stunning. And to think again, this is right. I mean, and frankly, a plan that almost worked. I mean, if maybe if they were just slightly less popular with that, it wouldn't have been such a big deal, but like winning the Grammy is such an F you to everybody else. So yeah, now they're out for you.
Like Gary Radnich said about Bonds, should have stopped at 70.
Amazing.
So, you know, here's the thing. What happens the minute a song that completely was produced and performed by AI wins a Grammy? Do you have to give Milli Vanilli their Grammy back?
No, I think categorically that'll just be now another, you know, the bucket that you can fall under. I think that would be smart. I think getting ahead of that would be actually very smart.
We'll wrap it up with this. Sammy, did you have one? Today in 2006, Nintendo released the Wii.
So did I wasn't
Wii bowling. Were you a Wii bowling?
So guy? I did it. I did it. I never owned it, but many friends' houses that I went to, and I actually enjoyed tennis more than bowling on the Wii.
Yes.
I really enjoy. I don't know that I ever enjoyed tennis more than Wii tennis. That was the greatest. I don't know. There was something about it. It was like, not that any of us are playing Pong. We're old enough to know what Pong looks like in like the first version of a video game of all time. And right. there was something that felt futuristic in that. Right. Like we truly it felt revolutionary
to control.
Yes.
The video game.
Yeah. That felt revolutionary at the time. It was like VR. There was a part of it that felt, you know, like now that I know what VR is, that was the first version for me.
I'll tell you what's freaking revolutionary. The fact that we don't need radio stations to broadcast anymore. Thank you for watching us on YouTube. And I'm going to tell you, I'll be posting some stuff from Southern California over the next few days or so. But it's not going to be a normal show schedule. That's why we really needed to get one in here today with Sammy. Sammy, thank you so very, very much. And we'll be talking to you again, next week?
We'll figure something out with Thanksgiving week. Absolutely.
Absolutely, we will. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. We hope you have a great rest of your day. Again, eat at Ike's, drink at the Dubliner West Portal, make all your bets over on Sleeper. And to all of you, have a wonderful Wednesday night. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, they're gone.